Welcome back to the Mooney Show on this particular Thursday afternoon. Well, this year, 2014, we'll see two of the most significant historical anniversaries in many years. In July, we will commemorate the 100th anniversary of the outbreak of World War I, which turned out to be possibly the greatest world tragedy in history, certainly at that time. But this month, April 2014, we will commemorate a uniquely Irish tragedy. 1,000 years ago, on April 23rd, 1014, Ireland's most famous High King lost his life at the Battle of Clontarf. Brian Boru achieved such legendary status that even now, a millennium after his death, he was referenced in the Queen's speech at Windsor Castle earlier this week, which I watched myself indeed. Throughout this month, various celebrations take place to mark the passing of Brian Boru. So we thought here in the Mooney Show, we'd take the opportunity to remind ourselves of who this man was. And to that end, I'm delighted to be joined by Professor Sean Duffy, the Trinity College Professor of Irish History and author of the definitive work on Ireland's last great monarch, Brian Boru and the Battle of Clontarf. Professor Sean Duffy, lovely to have you on the Mooney Show.
Lovely to be here, Marty.
And thank you indeed for coming in. Tell me, first of all, about Brian Boru, because the Boru part of his name, if I'm not mistaken, was a nickname.
It is a nickname as such. You sometimes see people talking about Boru, calling him Boru as if you could use that. But I mean, Boru is, I think, almost certainly the place he came from. I mean, Boru or Borma, as it was in Old Irish, literally means cow tribute. So he could be Brian of the cow taxes, which is not a very romantic name. But you being a Clareman, Marty, you're kind of a Clareman, aren't you?
I am a Clareman, yes.
Mixed.
Yeah,
mixed
born in Cork, here, but, all right, but yeah. Clare, 100%, yeah.
So you will know that there is a place in
Killaloe,
near Killaloe, just up from Killaloe on the banks of Loch Derg, which is called Baile Bordova, or Baile Boru as it is nowadays. And that was one of Brian's family fortresses where they lived in. So he's really Brian of Baile Bordova, which is a beautiful ring fort just over on the banks of the Shannon overlooking Loch Derg, or Loch Derg flows into the Shannon. So that's the origin of the name.
So really, you could say that he could be a descendant of mine.
Well,
he could be related.
He could be an
I'm a descendant of his rather than the other way around.
He could very well be. It's astonishing the number of people who are descended from him. I mean, you mentioned the Queen. The Queen, of course, is a descendant of Brian Boru. And people sometimes ask me what the exact connection is. And I think I can do it fairly. The Queen, as you know, is descended from James VI of Scotland and England, who was descended from Robert the Bruce, whose grandmother was a granddaughter of Strongbow, who married Aoife, whose great-grandmother or great-great-grandmother was a great-granddaughter or great-great-granddaughter, I forget which, of Brian. So that's the line of descent from him to Queen Elizabeth.
My good friend and colleague, Olaf McGowan, did a test with me. He explained to me our descendants, you know, and how we're all probably related to Brian Boru. Because, okay, we have our two parents and our grandparents, great-grandparents. But if you keep going back over hundreds of years, like you've millions, billions, in fact, of descendants.
And there's an awful lot of modern Irish surnames which originate with members of Brian's family, like the name Kennedy. You know, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the Kennedy that name comes from, was a nephew of Brian Boru. Bertie Ahern is a descendant from a man called Echtern, who was a brother of Brian Boru. And there are lots of others, Willie O'Dea and so on. All these people, they all originate in that corner of County Clare there at the time of Brian Boru. That's when Irish surnames were starting to take shape.
We not only just produce good hurlers, Sean, you're actually trying to tell me this.
That's where it all happened, Marty.
So when precisely did Brian Boru become High King of Ireland?
Well, he was probably born in 941 AD, and we wouldn't know anything about Brian Boru were it not for the fact that when his father died, his oldest brother succeeded, then an older brother, Machan, succeeded. But he was assassinated in 976 AD, and that's when Brian emerges into the picture. And he was probably middle-aged at that stage. He hadn't thought that he would come to fame because he'd just be the brother of somebody famous. But from that point onwards, he starts to emerge on the scene, starting off in County Clare, North Munster, then throughout Munster, then throughout the southern half of Ireland, and then he starts to make his pitch for power throughout the island. And he eventually became High King of Ireland in the year 1002. Now, he died in 1014, so he wasn't at the top for very long.
Yeah, in fact, he only had around 10-11, he only had about 3 years to live, but he was at his peak then, wasn't he?
10-11 is when, and he was 70 years, at the very earliest, he was 70 years of age when he got to the top. You know, in an age when people, you tend to think of people dying
retire,
young.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he was an extraordinary man, and he deserves to be commemorated. And we're having this conference, in fact, in Trinity tomorrow and Saturday, that's open to the general public and it's free in. So any of your listeners who want to come along to Trinity, to the Edmund Burke Theatre, they should pop down to that. We'd love
and
to
And as you
have
mentioned,
them.
Sean, when is it on? What time is it?
It starts tomorrow morning at 9:15. You can get it on the Trinity website, tcd.ie/history/Clontarf. You can check it out there, and it's going to be good fun, I hope.
I'll say. So go on to Trinity College and meet Professor Sean Duffy, who I'm delighted to meet here in our studio. Why is the Battle of Clontarf so romanticised by Irish people?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, Marty. I mean, sometimes I meet people who think it must be a later invention. It can't have been such a big deal at the time, but it was a big deal. And I think it's partly because Brian died and he was a very, very unusual figure. And he met his end at that battle. But it's also because of what the battle might have stood for. I mean, at the time, it took place at a very pivotal moment in history. I mean, months before the Battle of Clontarf, England was conquered by the Danes. Mm. This is the family of the famous King Canute. I'm sure you've heard of him, who ousted Ethelred the Unready as Anglo-Saxon King of England. And the Danes conquered England and went on to dominate England and Denmark for about a quarter of a century. And then later, of course, in that century, you had the Normans in 1066 who conquered England. So Brian Boru's lifetime is a period when this archipelago of ours was in a great state of flux. And the Battle of Clontarf was undoubtedly a big international event where there was this, you had the forces of Ireland, or of certainly those who supported Brian in his capacity as King of Ireland, facing these foreign foes who we don't know entirely what they wanted to achieve, but we know it wasn't a petty local squabble as it's sometimes portrayed as. It was a big international affair. And it isn't, to some extent, its reputation grew with the passage of time. But even the contemporary sources, people wrote about the Battle of Clontarf as far away as the south of France, as far away as Iceland. It was known to be a major event in Northwest Europe in its day.
You know, I think back, I was privileged and lucky enough to go with the GAA, in fact, to the Super 11s, to the Notre Dame University, and see an American football game, the Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
Because when you go back hundreds of years, that the culture that was kind of a lot of fighting and a lot of violence.
Yeah.
And we were kind of at it ourselves, really, weren't we?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, that's true. But I know the Irish have this reputation for militarism. That is partly a consequence of the fact that, you know, in later centuries, to be honest, there weren't that many choices of livelihood for a lot of Irish people. So they went off and they fought in armies, you know, and they gave their lives. And we all know about the wild geese on the continent fighting the wars of the great powers. So it's probably a product of that. But having said that, it is true that Brian Boru lived in a time when politics was fought through war in those days. So that's the way life was. But Ireland was no different from anywhere else, to be honest, at that time. It was life was fairly bloody in the Middle Ages.
And bleak indeed. We'll have more historical insight from Professor Sean Duffy, Trinity College Professor of Irish History, very shortly. But right now we're going to take a little break and the news. You're tuned to The Mooney Show here on RT Radio 1. At the moment, we're looking back at a very dominant figure, because, of course, we're commemorating a uniquely Irish tragedy 1,000 years ago. On April 23rd, 1014, Ireland's most famous High King lost his life at the Battle of Clontarf. Of course, it is Brian Boru. And I'm joined, indeed, delighted to welcome Professor Sean Duffy, Trinity College Professor of Irish History, with me here in the studio. Sean, we were talking about the violence and the era and the bloodshed that was at that time, which was part and parcel of life. But even back in King Brian's day, was there ever a notion of a united, unified Irish nation?
Yeah, there was a very strong notion, in fact, Marty, that we sometimes forget about nowadays. We tend to think of nations as being, you know, a modern thing. But the Irish were actually precocious in that regard. More, perhaps before most countries in Europe. I think probably because, to be honest, we're an island. So, and in the Middle Ages, we were an island at the edge of the world. If you, you know, if you imagine a world before America, if you can imagine a world before America, Marty, given your background there. But you know, there was nothing beyond Ireland. It was literally on the edge. So the Irish, they felt themselves sort of marooned on this island, disconnected from the rest of the world, and that allowed them to develop a strong sense of themselves as a people, apart from others, you know, people who were different from everybody else, what we would call a nation. If you look at the Irish word, for instance, for a province, is cuige, which means a fifth, and you can't have a fifth unless there's a whole of which, you know, these five things are a part.
Yeah.
So the Ireland was a country in the sense in which anyone uses that term, and the Irish were a nation. I know they fought amongst themselves a lot, but you know, they were a very sophisticated people who had a strong sense of themselves.
Hmm. What about place names? Can we trace any place names back to Brian?
Well, most Irish place names, to be honest, have a medieval origin. And one thing that's very extraordinary is, I mean, if you go around Ireland, you will find literally tens of thousands of places beginning with Bally something or other,
yes,
whatever it may be. And the first time those appear in the historical records is in and around and shortly after the time of Brian Boru. And they seem to originally, the word Balia, we use it nowadays to mean a town, but it seems to have originally been a kind of a farm, a farmstead. And you find this term Balia Biotoc, which means the farmstead of the food providers, something along those lines. It's a technical term, but basically these are tax-paying communities. And, you know, as historians, when we're trying to explain how it is that Brian Boru, you know, got to the top and stayed at the top, it's because he was able to exercise power, and he got that power by taxing people and forcing his presence on people. So, and I think therefore that it's quite possible that the origins of the Irish townland system with the Bally place names emerged in this new kind of a national taxation system, a national administrative system Brian Boru was trying to put in place at the end of the 10th century and the start of the 11th century.
And what about this notion of Ireland as being a Celtic nation? Was Brian Boru Celtic?
Well, I think if you asked him, he'd have looked at you because he wouldn't have known that. Because people, the word, that term is a kind of, if you like, a modern way of describing the peoples of this part of the world who are certainly interconnected. I mean, when historians use it, they really use it in the sense of being a Celtic-speaking people. So the Irish and the Welsh, for instance, were cousins in that sense because their languages, the Welsh language and the Irish language, are connected, and the Scottish Gaelic language is just a dialect of Irish. So Brian would have known that he was connected to these peoples, the Scots and the Welsh, and indeed we have a lot of evidence for his connections with both those countries. In fact, when Brian died at the Battle of Clontarf, one account describes him not just as King of Ireland, but as over-king of the Welsh. So he seems to have had some involvement with Wales. And likewise, Brian called himself not just King of Ireland, he called himself Emperor of the Gaels, because I think he was trying to push his weight around in Gaelic Scotland, you know, in the western part of Scotland, in the Hebrides, the Isle of Man, and the Highlands of Scotland. There's some evidence for Brian's authority being recognised there. So he's a very significant player.
That goes without saying. And many people have the idea that Clontarf was all about Brian driving at the Vikings. Is that true?
Well, that was the traditional view. And then historians, being historians, they went to the opposite extreme and they said it had nothing to do with the Vikings. Brian was basically a Munster man and his enemy was the King of Leinster. And it was like an interprovincial grudge match that Brian O'Driscoll and his mates might have been involved
in. So we're back to Munster-Leinster rugby now.
Yeah, but I don't think it was that at all, because otherwise it wouldn't have lasted so long, the fame of it. I mean, if you think about the Battle of Clontarf, the most significant part is that Brian Boru was killed, and yet it was a victory. And so you have to ask yourself, Marty, how could something be a victory if the guy who's leading one side is dead? That's a funny kind of a victory. So I think it has to be the case that his side were able to say to their people after the battle, look, OK, we lost our leader, but it was a price worth paying for what he achieved today. So, and what he achieved is really what he prevented happening, you know, not any, so, which is a slightly harder case to argue. But I'm fairly certain that the reason the Battle of Clontarf was talked about abroad and became famous at home was because Brian Boru stopped happening in Ireland what had just happened in England, which was that the Anglo-Saxons under Ethelred the Unready were conquered by the Danes under the family of King Canute. He prevented that. Ireland wasn't conquered then for another 150 years until the Normans come along. So it was a very significant achievement. And that's why, you know, Irish people looked on him as a kind of a national hero in a sense.
What was your reaction when you heard the Queen mention him?
Well, I thought it was lovely. I mean, it just was there at the start of it. I thought she was going to tell us about her connection to it. But it was nice that it was dropped in because she felt that, you know, on an occasion like that, you want to press the buttons. You want to press buttons that resonate with people. And the thing about Brian Boru is that even after the passage of 1,000 years, for Irish people, the name resonates. You kind of feel, if I don't know anything about this guy, I should know something about him. There must be something there because, you know, we all need heroes. And Brian is the kind of guy that comes along, you know, once, not even once in a generation, once in a century. And he deserves to be commemorated, even at this remove, because he transformed Ireland in his day. And for the most part, in a good way. I mean, generally speaking, he was a good guy. You know, you don't hear many people say bad things about him. He was he was one of those Irish people in before the modern age. He was probably the greatest Irish man who ever lived, which is, I think, remarkable. For a Clare man.
Yeah, no. What do you mean, Sean Duffy, for a Clare man?
The greatest of the Clare men. Until
that's better,
until
that's
now,
better.
Until
yeah,
today.
Well, I'm not sure. Professor Sean Duffy, thank you very much. You've lost your Armagh accent, I have to say, you know, after all those years in Trinity College.
Well, I come from a long line of Ulster people, I'm proud to say, so I wasn't one of those Leinstermen who opposed Brian at Clontarf.
Good on you. Well, we look forward to this wonderful conference. Lectures tomorrow, admission is free, in the Edmund Burke Lecture Theatre and the Arts Building in Trinity College Dublin. About Brian Boru and our history. Very important. Professor Sean Duffy, Trinity College Professor of Irish History, thank you for joining us on The Mooney Show.
Thanks, Marty.